Welcome to our Reach Next Generation podcast. I'm Grace Jeffries, and I'm thinking about my future. To help me with this, I'm speaking with successful women to get an understanding of the challenges they've faced throughout their careers, how they overcame them, and what tips they've got of my age. Today, my guest is Olivia Streetfield, who is the CEO of Into. Olivia is also a non-executive director of Reach PLC. The other Reach, the Reach that owns several regional newspapers. Well, thanks for joining me today, Olivia. Can we start by you telling us all how your career took you to the role you have today?
Well, nice to speak to you today, Grace. My career has taken many twists and turns. I started off, I'm half English, half American. I went to university in the States. Then I did investment banking for a couple of years before going to business school. And the key decision I made about why I wanted to go to business school is that I was really interested in understanding more about how businesses operated outside of just the financial lens, which is what I was doing in my first couple of years out of university. After business school, I ended up working at McKinsey doing consulting, which is the best way, a great way of learning about how businesses operate. And then I spent some time working in telecommunications and at a horticulture business before ending up now at Into University Partnerships. Into, currently what we do is we help recruit students from around the world into universities in the US, UK, and Australia.
Okay. Well, thanks for, well, when you were at school, sorry, did you know what you wanted to do or be, or did that happen more later in life?
When I was your age, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I never really thought about it. I really was focusing on sport, and that was my focus. I was focusing on sport and also getting into a really good university. And then when I was at university, I did internships in between each year to try to explore and see more of what was happening in the world. I really felt like the internships were the best way I could start to see how kind of real life worked.
Yeah. Well, I know you went to Princeton University in America, but how important do you think it actually is to go to university?
I think that's a great question. I haven't thought about it. For me, Princeton or going to university is a really good way to kind of meet people from a very wide spectrum of backgrounds and countries. And to teach you really how to study and think critically. I think if you have a passion and you know exactly what you want to do, then, maybe going and getting a job out of high school is the right route. But if you're still not sure, I think those couple of years spent exploring new things, really learning how to critically think and meeting lots of new people, like in a university setting, I think is a really good path.
Yeah, I can tell already that you probably have quite a busy life, but are there any hobbies that you enjoy to do outside of work?
Well, I have three kids, and so I tend to think I don't have much time for hobbies. So I like to run. I run kind of 4 or 5 mornings a week, and that's really good for my mental well-being and just feeling strong. Which is important. But other than that, my hobbies are really around being there for my kids when I'm not traveling and working.
Yeah. So obviously we have all been hit by COVID with things just beginning to feel normal again. But how have you had to deal with the COVID-19 issues, both personally and professionally?
COVID-19 has been hugely disruptive. On a personal level, it's actually been great because it meant that I traveled less. And so my husband and I were home more with the kids. So it was a really nice family reset. On a professional level, the business I was running when COVID hit is an international supply chain business. It was we imported horticulture and produce from around the world. And that was massively hit. And so it was extremely disruptive and it's quite stressful. So you're trying to our factory workers were still going to the factories and our farmers were still in farmers producing. So you're trying to keep everyone safe for a fast moving, not well understood virus and also keeping the supply chains running. So it was a very dynamic, very stressful period, which I think then you're just relying on leadership, communications, and transparency.
So the world is changing so much and so quickly, but what do you think Work for Women might look like in 10 years' time? Or what do you hope Work for Women might look like?
I see it moving really fast. And, you know, what I hope it might look like is, you know, very flexible, deeply understanding of when women dip in and dip out because of kind of raising children. I see I've been really blessed. I've had such great mentors and women who have looked out for me and been able to be kind of flexible. So from early on in my career, I was picking my kids up from school on Fridays and having, I called it Mummy Fridays, because when they were younger, I wanted to be there. Now my kids are a bit older. They're in school on Friday afternoons. And so I have different forms of flexibility around wanting to be, you know, working from home or wherever they are during holiday time. I think flexibility is the most important thing, and also not having biases around kind of this word gravitas. So for me, there's two things around flexibility, recognizing women might need to be kind of in different places for different periods of the week or the school year. And also recognizing that women communicate differently, and what some people might consider as like lower gravitas. Others are saying that's just very high energy and enthusiastic and keen.
So what does INTO actually do, and what do you do on a daily basis?
That's a really good question. I mentioned this earlier, but what we do is INTO's a very kind of international global footprint business. We recruit students who are looking to study in the US and the UK and Australia. We help them get into these programs at university. And critically, we educate them on what we call a pathway. So we help them acclimate to Western or US, UK and Australian teaching profile. So that means supporting on the extra English or study skills and really making sure they get more intensive classes so they are successful and thrive to get their university degree. What I do, I have a wide range. I've only worked here for less than a year, so I'm spending a lot of time trying to learn the business and the industry and our partners at universities. So I do a lot of visits. I'm traveling quite a bit. And then I'm spending my time on calls with my team, helping identify what their issues are and seeing how we can unblock those issues so they can deliver a better product for our students.
So earlier you mentioned that you've had some mentors throughout your career, but have there also been anyone that you particularly admire?
Yes, I have lots of people I admire. So early in my career, one of my closest friends and someone who's really coached me through career is Melanie Smith, who is the CEO of Ocado Retail. Wendy Becker, who's the chairman of Logitech on many other boards. I think she's still on the board of Sony. And many other women that I've worked with who I greatly admire. And I think having someone who believes on you, especially early in your career, is really important because you always, I think, as you're trying to get up the learning curve, you lose confidence a lot. And, you know, my big message to everyone, not just girls or women or teenagers, is really keep the faith that you'll keep learning. When you lose confidence, take it as a learning opportunity. I also greatly admire my current chairman, who I work for now. His name is Sir David Eastwood. He was the former Vice Chancellor of Birmingham, and I'm learning a lot working for him now. So I think my big thing is always try to learn, even when you're feeling low confidence or stressed, say, what can I learn from this?
Yeah. So as part of our Reach Next Generation Summit, we look at diversity and opportunity for young girls to become entrepreneurs. Do you think that women are finding it easier to get funding and support now, though?
I think it's getting better and better over time. You know, I think there was a big funding gap that's narrowing, but there is still a gap. And so we've got to keep pushing and we've got to keep supporting each other.
Of course. Well, I have to ask, have you found any differences between business in America and business in England or the UK?
I have not done enough to critically assess that. So I've spent most of my, all of my last 10 years has been UK based. Now my current business, I am working with Americans a lot more than I was in the previous business. And no, I think it's just, there's a style difference. But in terms of the fundamentals of the business, I can't critically assess that yet.
Of course. Well, finally, I see behind you that there are loads of books. Are you an avid reader?
I am. I like to read a lot. I've always liked to read, even when I was very young. Now it's much easier. I remember when I was your age, I'd be lugging around big bags of books on every holiday. And now we've got Kindles, so we don't have that. But no, I love to read. I love books on business. And I'm trying to encourage, what I've tried to do with this business I'm at now is read books with my team. So that helps us really reflect. My company is an education, we're a learning organization. And so I think it's a great way to open your mind.
Of course. Well, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Olivia. Thank you so, so much. And I'm sure everyone listening will now be thinking about some of the choices they're about to make in their own careers. Keep listening to the Reach Next Generation podcasts as I talk to many more brilliant women. More information about us is at reachnextgeneration.com. And thank you to Levi Strauss, Ideal Standard, Sage PLC and Haynes Watts for their fantastic support.